Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, another glorious name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which gives us an opportunity to remember and meditate upon the qualities of that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the life of our life, the very meaning of our existence. And we're very fortunate enough to know that. It's true for everyone, but not everyone knows it. Now I'm going to speak on name 764, Dyuti Dhara. And before I get into discussing it, I'll just make one little point, that the number 764 is following the numbering system given by Parashara Bhatta, the first Sri Vaishnava commentator, just after Sri Ramanujacharya. In the numbering system given by Baladev Vidyabhushan, it's named 757. That's quite a big difference, a difference of seven numbers. The reason is that the different commentators, they break up the Sanskrit in different ways and ascribe different names accordingly. You'd have to know a little bit about Sanskrit to understand that. So that's just an interesting point. Dyuti Dhara. Dyuti, we already came across this. Nothing to do with the English word duty. It's spelled differently also. We already actually came across this name somewhat in name 276 in the verse number 30, in which there was discussion of the name Ojas Tejo Dyuti Dhara. He who possesses, actually these three words, they could, Oja, Teja, and Dyuti, they're almost synonyms, but then, yeah, they're almost synonyms, but they're not exactly synonyms. So that name was there, and also even prior to that, we had in the second century, I think it was about 176, something like that, Mahadyuti. So Dyuti means, well, the general understanding of the name is effulgence, luminosity, shining. So Mahadyuti would mean who is greatly shining, and Dhara, we have that from the name we just had. It's come up several times, and it's a common term. We just had Dhara Dhara. So one who holds or maintains or supports, Dhara. So Dyuti Dhara, one who holds effulgence. Or in other words, one who is effulgent. So the basic meaning of this is one who is effulgent, Dyuti Dhara. One who holds it, that means it's with him. He's always effulgent. So that means he who is effulgent. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he describes this to mean that because in the previous name we've been discussing about how he, we discussed the Govardhan Leela, how the Supreme Lord as Tejo Vrsha, he exhibits his power to protect his devotees. He showers his protection upon them. So Baladev Vidyabhushan, that he says he becomes, by protecting his devotees, he becomes effulgent. So someone may be effulgent, naturally effulgent, someone who, I was discussing this yesterday also in the Tejo Vrsha, as someone who is with spiritual luminosity. They glow. Oh, that reminds me of an anecdote that Dinabandhu Prabhu, I've heard him say it several times, that Srila Prabhupada, Dinabandhu Prabhu personally witnessed it. And at an airport somewhere in America, Srila Prabhupada was going through the airport, and there was some man of color, a black man, and Dinabandhu would say, likes to imitate the way he spoke on seeing Srila Prabhupada, this black man. He said, "That man, he's shining. In other words, the man has saw that Srila, he was astonished that Srila Prabhupada was shining. So someone who's connected with Krishna, they shine with effulgence. The purity of the soul comes through, they shine like that. But Baladev Vidyabhushan says this particularly comes from his efforts to protect them, as he did in lifting up Govardhan Hill. And we can see if someone makes some physical exertion also, it's as if there's some luster comes. If someone runs hard or he is engaged in a big challenge, and especially a physical challenge, and he comes out victorious, the racing, the 100-meter sprint champion, and there's some effulgence from the effort and from the satisfaction of being successful in a job well done and a job that you feel very good for doing it. You might not feel very good if you are a paid murderer, for instance, but you may feel very good if you're a bodyguard and you protect the person you're protecting, you protect the person you're protecting from an attack. So in the same way, Krishna, he feels accomplished. I did it, lifted the Govardhan Hill, and his efforts to protect them, he shines with that. He shines with a satisfaction. Yes, I was able to do it. So duty also means that magnificence, dignity, majesty. It's just like we don't expect. That just brings to mind these British statesmen and some of the, not only British, but noble persons, the aristocracy in Britain and Europe, especially before the days of photography, they used to have their portraits painted. If you're a big wig, you get your portrait painted. And in the portrait, they'll be dressed in their finery, in their military uniform, it may be. And military uniform in those days didn't mean desert khakis, but very regal looking. And they'll be standing there without a smile on their face, no smiling, but looking very dignified and regal and majestic. And you don't expect someone who's in such a position to look, you expect them to have some effulgence, which comes from being in a dignified position. Even if you are, you may be in a dignified position and you may have to hold court and you may not be feeling very well, but you can't show it. You can't show that you're feeling weak, especially a king. A king should never look weak. He should never be weak. For the king, there's so much I was just seeing the in traditional India, the protocol for a king's bath, and just to give him a bath in the morning, if there's massage and then with oil and then so many different herbs from dozens of herbs are put in the water and then strained, and there are different people attending him. It's a whole big thing. It's just to keep his health full. So many arrangements, because he has to be healthy to do his job properly. There's no use to be a washed out weakling king. He has to be strong in body and mind and purpose. And when he sits on the throne, he can sit with dignity, and he can take on all the burden of the state. Yes, all the hopes of the people, the protection of the people, the righteousness will be upheld. He's doing that as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he should look the part, and be the, not just look the part, but be the part. You can't fake it for long. So that regal attitude and the effulgence that comes with it, that is as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that he, Naranam cha Naradhipam, among men, he is the leader of the men, or the king. So a king is a representative of Krishna. So he may be respected for that also, especially if he rules on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not like in the present day where widely rulers, not everywhere, but in many countries, the rulers are disrespected and may not be actually very respectable. And they're not just respected, but it's considered that they're acting for the benefit of the people. It's a reciprocal relationship. So there are great personalities in which the magnificence is there, dignity is there, according to their role. Now, why am I talking so much about worldly kings? Just to give some insight, or leaders of the world at the present time. We have leaders of the world, some who are leaders of great nations, according to this tiny little blip in the universe called the Earth. But from our perspective, they're leaders, great leaders of great nations, and they're in their posts for some time, and they're strong enough to do it, strong enough to do the job. They are representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who oversees the whole universe, not just this blip called the Earth, and multiple universes and everything, everywhere, and he's on the job. He's not just a long-term leader, but he's eternally the leader. What a great personality. Majestic, dignified, bright, brilliant, always shining and glowing. Parashara Bhatta, he makes the point that, he's making the point, and I'll extrapolate a bit from it, that even as a child, Krishna, by his prowess, he humbled Indra. Now, Indra, he's known as Devendra, the king of the gods. Deva means one who is effulgent. Krishna, to all appearances, at that time, a young boy, 7 years old, at that time, he just appeared to be like a little boy. Actually, he's the king of how many Indras? How many universes are there? Innumerable Indras. But he was playing like a little boy. But still, even without formally being recognized in his pastime role as a young boy, he was known as the son of the king of Raja, the son of Nanda Maharaj. But although Nanda Maharaj is called a king, he's not a king in the sense that a real Kshatriya king is a king. It means he's the leader of the cowherders of one village area. But he's, yeah, he's not a Kshatriya king. So Krishna, even without that official position, his effulgence far outshone that of Indra. And even though Indra had the majesty of being the king of heaven, but he should have known that actually my king is Krishna. He's always subordinate to Krishna, even at a very young age. Krishna didn't undergo any austerities. He didn't make any political machinations to make himself supreme. He's always supreme. There's a very important point that Srila Prabhupada often brings up, that Krishna, because sometimes we hear people say that you become God, but Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna, he is God, and he didn't do anything to become God. He is naturally always God. And for that matter, we are naturally always not God. That's why it's very good to discuss the Vishnu Sahasranam, which really establishes Vishnu, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very important for us to always remember that we're not God. We should be reminded of it regularly. We're not God. Who is actually God? What are the qualities that make him God? Because we have this persistent misconception, whether it's strongly manifested in our minds or whether it's dormant, and we may not even philosophically spell it out in our own minds, but we have this feeling that, well, I'm the center of everything that's going on, and yeah, people should recognize it. Or this desire to be thought of as being greater than we are. But we'll never be anything near as great as God. Actually, that is possible by complete surrender to him. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to say, these people, they want to become God, but the Vaishnavas, they become more than God, because Krishna becomes subservient to his devotees' love. But ontologically, we are always subordinate. It's very important to discuss this. How great is Krishna? And then naturally it follows, how small are we? He subdued Indra. Yesterday we were talking about the showers of rain and the heavy rain that is sent by Indra. Okay, the water accumulates in the ocean, it's evaporated, and then it accumulates in the clouds and it comes down as rain. But it's not just going on by some impersonal forces. We can study by science, and we may say, well, we didn't see Indra, and we don't need Indra in all of this, because it's just going on by the laws of nature. But that is, of course, an impersonal estimation. All these energies of the Supreme Lord, they work. Actually, they work by his power, but there are demigods who are deputed to oversee the workings of the universe. So this tremendously powerful rain, Indra sends it forth. We can see, powerful in one sense, the sun is the rain comes so heavily, but it's also powerful in the sense Indra has such great power because we're so much dependent on rainfall. We don't think about it much. Well, the farmers think about it. But we require rain without, and if the, even the city dwellers, if there's an extended drought, and they start to feel it, and they're told to save water and water harvesting if there's any water comes. But it's such, it's life. Water is life. Without, that's why they're always saying, oh, we found water on Mars or this, or, because they think we need water for life. It's a fact. It's life as we know it with our bodily constitution requires water. And that is sent on this earth by Indra. He's such a powerful and responsible figure. But he also gets carried away. And Krishna put him in his place. So we should meditate on this. It's not just some like some fairy story or something like this. These are facts of the universe. Krishna, in one sense, well, in the true sense, Krishna is trans-historical. He exists beyond history, before anyone even thought of history. Before anything existed, he was there. Before the creation, he was there. So he's trans-historical. But at the same time he appears, we can say the date and time and place in which he appeared. He's beyond this material energy, but he appears, and we can give the coordinates, the date and the time and the place. And then you can work out astrologically. Astrologically, what do you think about this person? Well, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It can be understood astrologically also. Shankaracharya, he refers back, or brings to mind, the previous verse, which of at least among our Gaurya Vaishnavas, the Vishnu Sahasranam text, which is very well known, Suvarna Varna Hemango Varangas Chandanagadi. This is very well known among Gaurya Vaishnavas because this refers to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Shankara, yeah, what does it mean? He has golden limbs, large body, beautiful body, smeared with sandalwood pulp. So Shankaracharya refers to this because anga, limbs, comes up twice in this. So all his limbs, Shankara takes this duty dara, he specifically says that all of the Shankara says that all the limbs of his body are effulgent. And in this way, he explains the name Dyuti Dhara. Radha Krishna Shastri comments that the name Dyuti Dhara says that he not only is his own, not only does he hold the effulgence, which is of himself, but whatever effulgence is anywhere or in anything is due to him. He holds his own effulgence, which is inseparable from him. But at the same time, if we see effulgence anywhere, we should know that the effulgence, which is in the sun or the moon or even the any living being has some effulgence. That is a gift from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see the brightness of the sun, of the moon, of lightning, even the jewels have some inherent light. The demigods, they're also shining. The word deva means one who shines. So we all have some brightness. We may say to someone, oh, you're looking very bright today. We say in Sanskrit also, ujjval. Ujjval Mukhi, someone who has a bright face, we may say like that. So that brightness comes from Krishna. We have some brightness, as a gift from Krishna. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada ditya katang tejo, jagad bhasa yatekilam, yat chandramasi yat chagno, tat tejo vidhimamakam. He says, the splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of the whole world, comes from me, and the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. Notice the word Teja here, and from the previous name we were discussing, Tejo Risha. He showers his radiance on everything. So these two names, Teja Risha, Tejo Risha, and Duty Dara, they're closely connected. Now I'm going to read from the prayers of Lord Shiva to Vishnu, which appear toward the end of the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll just read a quote from that, which is apropos to this name Duty Dara. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Vishnu as follows, the English translation by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, your two lotus feet are so beautiful that they appear like two blossoming petals of the lotus flower which grows during the autumn season. Indeed, the nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence. Effulgence can be taken as duty. The nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence that they immediately dissipate all the darkness in the heart of a conditioned soul. My dear Lord, kindly show me that form of yours which always dissipates all kinds of darkness in the heart of a devotee. My dear Lord, you are the supreme spiritual master of everyone. Therefore, all conditioned souls covered with the darkness of ignorance can be enlightened by you as the spiritual master. So there's another very important understanding of he who has brightness, that we are in the darkness of ignorance, and he, with his natural effulgence, his bodily effulgence, it acts to illuminate everything, both physically and in the sense of consciousness. Our consciousness is now in darkness, but we will become enlightened. That word is there in English also, enlightened, by the knowledge and the realization, which is a gift from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is another way in which he lightens us up. Satyadeva Vashishta. He interprets this to mean one who has effulgence and who protects everyone and everything. About the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, Sanjay, while describing the vision of the universal form which Krishna showed to Arjuna, while describing this to Dhritarashtra, we find in Bhagavad Gita a verse that was spoken by that scientist, Oppenheimer, and when the first atomic explosion was made in the New Mexico desert in the 1940s. First atomic explosion, where was it? Where was it? Hiroshima. No, it was in America, the test run. So he quoted this verse. He was a great fan of Bhagavad Gita. He knew this. So here's the verse in Sanskrit. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugapad Uttita Yadi Bha Sadrishi Sa Syad Bhashas Tasya Mahatmanaha. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, Just try to imagine hundreds and thousands of suns rising at once. Their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Personality in that universal form. How bright it is! That was compared to the effulgence of the atomic explosion. Reading from the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, when the demigods pray to the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord appears before them. Shukdev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, being thus worshipped with prayers by the demigods and Lord Brahma, appeared before them. His bodily effulgence resembled the simultaneous rising of thousands of suns, the same example as given. The vision of all the demigods was blocked by the Lord's effulgence. Thus they could see neither the sky, the directions, the land, nor even themselves, what to speak of seeing the Lord who was present before them. So two ways if we can't see. One thing is if there's no light. Another thing if there's too much light, we get blinded. Now the demigods themselves, Deva, they means they who shine. They're so bright, their bodily effulgence is so bright. But when the Supreme Lord appeared in their midst, he was so bright that his effulgence completely eclipsed their effulgence. And a common example is given that at night we see glowworms. Depends which part of the world you're in. Here in India, it's common at night. If you're in the village and there are no lights around, you can see tiny little glowworms. Sometimes you see them in the room and there's little light. Little light emanates from their body, some electric light they generate. It's just a tiny, you can't really see anything by it, but you can just see there's a glow worm. You can't see the glow of the glow worm in the daytime because the light of the glow worm is totally eclipsed by that of the sun. So in the same way, the light of the demigods was totally eclipsed, even though they are so bright, but he was too bright for them to see, and they felt as if blinded. And then, of course, Krishna turned down a bit, but just letting them know. Sometimes it's necessary for someone who's in a position of authority to let it be known that, yes, I am superior. Don't take it for granted. Don't take me for granted. Now, talking about light, the light, merge into the light. The highest truth is the light, we've heard many times. But actually, the highest truth is not, the highest truth is light, yes, but that light is an attribute of the Supreme Person. So the Supreme Truth is the possessor or the source of that light. If we say that the Supreme Truth is light, that is true. But he is light, but that's an attribute of him. It's not that the light itself independently is the highest truth. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kotishvashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence, yasya prabha, his prabha means effulgence, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads. When people talk about merging into the light, they're referring to the non-differentiated Brahman, as mentioned in the Upanishads. But the effulgence of Govinda is the source of that non-differentiated Brahman. And then the verse goes on, being differentiated. It means Govinda is differentiated from the infinities of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. So this verse covers both the meaning, or the two main meanings of the word duty. His effulgence is described, and his majesty is described as being quite different from that with that the majesty which is seen among majestic persons of this world. It's just in a different platform. He is the Nishkalam, indivisible, Anantam, infinite, Ashesha, limitless truth. Just one little point to, very important point, but I'll just, it's a major point actually, but I'll just bring it up briefly here, is that we find that the Mayavadis comment on Vishnu Sahasranam, and they recite Vishnu Sahasranam, but it's really inexplicable how they can do so, because here we have the name Duti Dhara. So duti means an attribute, effulgence, and Dhara means one who has or one who holds. So there's clearly duality there. There's the duti, the light, and the Dhara, the possessor or the holder of the light. So how can they comment on Vishnu Sahasranam? It's so strange. They should all just give up all their nonsense Mayavad and surrender to Krishna and chant Hare Krishna and become Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chunakam padayo nipatya kritvacha kakushata metat ahambravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tatava nanu mukarona vayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi bilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.